Hey everybody, my name's Sarah Pruis, and I am starting my own podcast. In the past, I've had a blog called Just the Seven of Us, and I most recently also started a vlog, also called Just the Seven of Us. So to continue that name, this podcast will be Just the Seven of Us, and my goal in all of this is to kind of combine the three as I have, what's the word, like, however I'm feeling on a certain day, whether I want to write or do video or speak. But I've had the blog the longest, and I started it about 4 years ago, mostly because so many people were curious about our lives. So first I'm going to go into a little bit of background of why I started the blog to begin with, how this podcast is going to go in the future, and the goals of everything, and just go from there. And today's podcast is actually podcast number 2. It's called So How Long Have You Been Gay? I'm joined here with my sister-in-law, Jincy Reardon.
Hello!
How's it going, Jincy?
I'm good, how are you?
Good. She's going to help me because I'm really nervous about doing my first podcast, and she's going to help me remember all my talking points.
And I love podcasts. I'm like a...
She's a podcast nerd.
Yeah, aficionado, I would say.
Sorry. I didn't mean to offend.
But yes.
Yes, so she's hopefully going to be a frequent guest on my show, and will just help us to stay on course. So, let me start at the beginning. Again, my name is Sarah. I am married to my wife, Jackie. And between the two of us, we have 5 kiddos. We have 4 boys and a girl, and they range in age from 16, 14, 11, 7, and 5. We've been together for almost 5 years and married for almost 4. And right from the beginning of our relationship, people have been really curious about our lives because it is fairly unique. Mm-hmm. We got together when I was 38 and my wife was 31.
Yeah, I was like, one? I had to do some quick math.
So we have quite the extended family, I guess you could say. We were both married to men in the past. Mm-hmm. I had been married for 15 years to my ex-husband, and she had been married almost 8 to hers. Interestingly, the two guys have been fairly supportive over the years, and we really try hard to just kind of be one big family as much as we can. They come to dinner with us. We try to just maintain a friendly relationship. Throughout the years, it's kind of gone up and down, but for the most part, like, our biggest goal is to just never have the kids ever have to wonder, like, whose house we're having a birthday at. Like, it's just going to be at our house, and everyone's just going to be there. And so we refer to the guys as our ex-husbands and ex-husbands-in-law. So Jackie's ex-husband is my ex-husband-in-law.
Yes.
The fun twist on that is he's also what I consider one of my best buddies.
Yeah, it's really interesting, actually, because I think that it is such a interesting dynamic between all of you guys. It's definitely not the typical, like, divorce story that people, like, think of. And so I'll, like, tell some of my friends, like, oh, I'm, like, you know, I watch, like, my ex, or your ex-husband-in-law's, so my sister's ex-husband's dog all the time, you know? Like, he's, like, a member of my family, too, and I'm always just like, oh, that, like, I'm watching, like, my ex-brother-in-law's dog. And they're like, wait, like, what? And, like, what? Just trying to explain that. And I don't know, it's just really interesting. It definitely, I feel like, it's very special what you guys have, like, been able to build. And I'm glad that you guys have been able to maintain it.
Yeah.
Because it is very, I agree. Like, when it comes down to it, it's all about making sure that your kids have, you know, the best experience.
Yeah,
so
I think the four of us all agree that the best thing for us, our kids, is to not have to pick sides, to never feel like they can't speak about the other parent when they're with the other one, and to just still be able to enjoy the everyday family life. Like, hey, dad's dropping us off and dad's staying for dinner. Like, to them, that's totally normal. And I guess we've always thought, like, that should be the norm. But so many people we encounter think it's so odd. You know, it's like this instant, like, well, whose side should we be on?
Yeah.
Who left who? What exactly happened?
And it almost feels like there should be some resentment.
Right.
Yeah.
And so we've always had pretty good luck with people understanding that. I know from the guy's perspective, especially my ex-husband-in-law, he's run into quite a bit of kind of judgment or criticism about his choices to hang out with us because, like I said, I consider him one of my best buddies, and we used to hang out quite a bit. We just spend the day together so that the kids could, like, not have to be with one of us or the other. And so we've just had a great time. We do house projects. We build things together. We've canned things together.
I know. You guys are
recently started our own brewing company together.
Oh, yes. I forgot about that. Okay, yeah.
So that's been really fun. And we just really click. And to be perfectly honest, just thoroughly enjoy each other's company. So it's been easy in that respect. But I know he's run into quite a bit of criticism. Like, why are you hanging out with them? You shouldn't do that. And
yeah.
It's just been interesting for him.
And that is just kind of like his personality. Like, he's just like, he's just one of the best. Like, he really is just very, very like...
like, why wouldn't I?
Or, yeah, like, I don't see why I wouldn't. I don't know. He's very grounded, I would say, too. Like, which I think, like, plays a lot into it. Like, he's very practical.
He's practical.
And I think that's kind of, like, what plays into it. Like, the practicalness of...
And he's also just very positive. Like, always looking at the best part of the situation. Like, well, at least this is happening.
Yeah, so exactly.
I'm going to buy into that. And our kids have benefited thoroughly from that. The best part is watching. So, I have four of the kiddos are my bio kiddos.
Yes.
And the littlest is my wife's bio. But I've been his other mom since he was about 14 months. The coolest thing to see is my ex will just scoop him up when he comes to see him. And our little five-year-old's like, oh, Justin's here, let's...
Yeah, he loves him.
Let's wrestle.
And your ex husband is actually like really good at. He's really good with him.
Yeah, he's like he treats him like his own. And if we'd ever ask him like, hey, can the other day Axel's like, I just really want to sleep over at Justin.
I know.
With the other kids.
Or I remember when they were like younger, like Yaya, they would go to like your youngest and Jackie's youngest would both go to Yaya's house. So even though like, seven-year-old. The seven-year-old, like, isn't biologically Gus's, like, Gus's child. So, you know, it's, like, his mom is Yaya. Like, even though that, like, she's not biologically related to him, like, she'd be like, oh, yeah, like, he can come with, too. Like, I remember that they would always used to go to Yaya's together.
Yeah.
So.
It's just been really sweet, and we used to live all in the same town, and the guys...
It's like a block away from each other.
Actually, yeah, three doors down from us, which was great, and the kids were running back and forth. About 3 years ago, we decided to move to a city about 45 minutes away, but we still really cooperatively parent. So if one dad is coming to pick up a set of kids, they always just... Well, I'll just take this kid back with me because the dads still live a couple blocks away from each other and they're good friends with each other and it just really makes for a unique situation.
Yes, it does.
And yeah, we just consider everyone family, I guess.
Yeah.
So I'm sure we'll have podcasts more in depth about ex-husbands-in-law and the uniqueness of that.
I think you could have a whole episode on, like, hijinks of the ex-husbands-in-law.
We could.
Like,
there's been a lot, and you can read my past blog posts. I haven't blogged a lot lately, but in the past, like, it definitely started to kind of highlight some of the uniquenesses mm-hmm. of our daily life and the guys coming over and trying to build tree houses for the kids.
Somebody mentioned that to me the other day. Like, it was my boss, because her husband is building a tree house, like, in their front yard, and she was like, oh, Justin's is, you know, looking pretty much the same.
It is.
And I was like, yeah, and I was like, that's
actually on hold.
And it was just, and I think it's just, that one's so funny, too, because that was, like, your and Jackie's house, and they would just, like, Justin and Gus would just come over and build the treehouse. And I think I was in, like, the office with a whole bunch of other people, and we were talking about Michelle's treehouse, and then we started talking about your treehouse and, like, the ex-husband-in-laws, and I was like, yeah, so Justin and Gus are building it together, but it wasn't their house. And I was like, when I say it out loud, it does sound pretty weird. And my boss was just like, yeah, no, it's really weird. I don't think that they understand how weird it is, so.
Well, people think that, but why would it have to be weird? And mm-hmm. I know we're not the only divorced people in these situations. Like, they yeah. do exist, and
yeah.
it should be the norm. But so anyway, I'm sure we'll talk about that. Other goals for this podcast. I mean, well, let me just say, my blog is kind of, I think the bent on the blog is kind of do-it-yourself/humor.
Mm-hmm.
The podcast, hopefully it'll be slightly humorous or entertaining to listen to, but I would love to take the platform to discuss some
things that you want to talk about.
Serious issues.
Yeah.
Random issues. It's not always about our family life, but just random things that I start thinking about and dealing with in our life that I do want to address social yeah. justice issues. And
well, and I think that a lot, there's a couple of blog posts that you did related to LGBT issues in the church.
Yes.
Which I personally loved those blogs a lot. So if anybody hasn't read those yet, you guys definitely need to, because they go a lot into a lot of depth about exactly kind of like your process and coming to, I guess, acceptance yeah. of yourself, and I'm sure that you'll talk about it, but that's like a whole other episode
yes,
too.
Yes, that's a great point. There probably will be an inordinate amount of those types of podcasts, and just
yeah.
The vlogs I've done on it kind of address a lot of the theology of the LGBT stuff that we've personally dealt with the churches that we've been attending. I'd like to kind of talk more about the personal aspect and
yeah.
and the faith and spirituality, and just, we can go down all sorts of different roads, and I'm hoping to have lots of different guests on and family and friends and just do a lot of laughing too.
I dig it.
So, like I mentioned, this is actually podcast episode 2.
Yeah.
Called So How Long Have You Been Gay?
Yep.
Podcast 1.
We listened to a part of it just before.
Podcast 1 was very, maybe not something we'd air the first time I'm going to launch a podcast.
We'd had a couple of White Claws each. And, yeah, there's a lot of giggling, a lot of inappropriate, borderline, like, you know.
Well, we'll see if it ever gets
to yeah, air. we'll see.
It may be a mysterious podcast episode 1, and if you dig on the interwebs long enough, you may eventually find it.
Yeah.
But that is to be determined.
Yes.
So I thought I would kick off officially podcast number 2, How Long Have You Been Gay? Obviously, the answer is my whole life.
Yeah, that's such a dumb, that's such a dumb question to ask somebody. Like, oh, how long have you been gay? It's not a choice.
The more appropriate question is, how long have you known you're gay?
Yeah.
But it's obviously a humorous intro, but I really didn't know until I was about 38, and I had fallen head over heels in love with my wife, who was just my best friend.
Yeah.
I had actually been at the birth of our fifth child. So that's a story for another day.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to
You can do, like, an episode for each child, like, because each, like, each childbirth means, like, a whole episode.
The birth stories are just amazing.
I know.
Side note, I kind of used to be, still am, I don't know what I would call myself, but I got into childbirth education, and I'm a doula and lactation counselor, and I used to be a student midwife. So birth is fascinating to me, and I'm sure a lot of birth analogies will come up and stories about birth, because everything in life really relates to birth.
Yeah, of course.
So I kind of wanted to talk about, since I did come out late in life, originally I thought that was a pretty unique thing, but come to find out, for lesbians, it's quite a bit more common than I was ever thought. Other funny thing, we thought we were so unique, like, we were best friends. We were best friends for a year. We wanted to just hang out together all the time. Finally realized it was something more. Within a very, very short amount of time, like, we're talking weeks, we're, like, divorced and living together and have pledged our lives to be together.
You guys, like, were kind of, you guys were definitely, like, the U-Haul lesbian stereotype.
So we're like, oh, look at this our love story is just so unique. Like, we're just the only ones. Come to find out there's, like, a whole joke about it.
Yeah.
What does a lesbian bring to her second date?
A U-Haul.
A U-Haul. So it turns out we're super common.
Yeah. Because, I mean, I think that Mysterious Episode 1 kind of touched a little bit. But, because you guys kind of, like, told people in, like, December, is that right? And then you guys moved in by February 14th.
I actually told everyone in January, and within a month, I moved in together.
Oh my gosh.
So, we might cover more of that story as this podcast goes along, but...
Yeah.
I want to focus mostly on, like, the transition of assuming you're a straight woman, being married to a man for 15 years, having four kids, like, that's really a lot of your identity is tied up in wearing that diamond ring. I was a stay-at-home mom, having the kids, like, you're getting up there in those years of marriage too, where, like, this is kind of a slam dunk from here on out. Like, we've gotten through a lot of hard stuff. Yeah. Like, this is just who I am. And for me, I can look back and laugh now about falling in love with my wife and, like, totally being blindsided. Like, even as things were unfolding, being like, I just don't even know what this means. And looking back, you can be like, oh my gosh, I was super naive about everything. But it was because I was so sure that I was a straight woman, that nothing made sense. It wasn't like, and we'll probably talk about what we call rainbow flags, which are like red flags that, like, looking back, like, oh yeah, in my childhood, but in those moments, it wasn't like, oh, I've just been married, trying to hide my identity this whole time and trying to live a straight life.
Yeah.
It just was, you know, I got married in college and everything just kind of made sense to me about that.
And that's just something that you just put, that was, like, so much of your identity, too.
Right.
Like, it was just, like, especially as a stay-at-home mom. Yeah. You know, I could definitely see that. So
it really blindsided me.
Yeah.
But through reading other people's stories, coming out later in life for a lesbian is fairly common. And I read an interesting study that for men, sexuality is fairly cemented early on in life. Mm-hmm. And so if a man decides to live in a heterosexual relationship, it's more of a choice of, like, I'm going to just do this because I can't come out. Women just have a little bit more fluid sexuality to begin with. But we have an intense drive to procreate.
Yeah.
and that can override any inkling of sexuality. And so a lot of women will have kids and then start to feel a little bit disillusioned with their lives and realize, like, that was covering up a lot of their identity to begin with, because mm-hmm. that drive was so strong. Like, I remember, like, all I wanted to do was have kids and be a mom.
Yeah. Well, I think that that's really interesting, too, and I think we kind of talked about this earlier, but I think that in a lot of ways it's, like, easier for women to, like, I guess,
fake it.
Like, and I don't mean, like, I don't mean it like that way, but, like, I think it's, like, easier for women to fake being straight, like, in straight relationships, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's, like, if a male is not sexually attracted or emotionally attracted to a female, like, she can, like he can, you know, it's pretty apparent, right?
Right.
And also, like, I just think, and forgive me for this, I was, like, listening to a podcast on the way here to Cheyenne.
Podcast,
I'm an aficionado. But I was listening to a podcast on the way here that was kind of talking about, like, conversion therapy, which is still, you know, a really terrible thing that's going on.
A new podcast for a different day.
Conversion, yes, because I have a lot of feelings about that.
I'm going to make a note about that.
Yeah, make a note about, because, I have a lot of feelings about conversion therapy, but it's really interesting because you see a lot of the leaders who are, like, male leaders, I should say, that are in those programs that were living, like, openly gay, and then, like, something happened in their lives and they're like, this is not okay. And then they, you know, went through the conversion process, you know? Mm-hmm. So even, you know, the, like, the beard marriages or whatever, I think that it's still, like, they still have those experiences. Right. I don't know, like, that. I think that that's really interesting, because I'm just wondering if it's just something inherent about, like, men or boys, like, when they're going through puberty, if that's just, like, I just don't know. Like, it's just, like, it's really interesting. I guess I'm just curious about, like, how that.
Well, I think for women, though, it's really socially normal for women to have low sex drive,
yeah,
and not be interested, and so then you can always write those things off.
Yeah.
Like, oh, well, my friend doesn't ever want to have sex either, and, you know, you're having babies, yeah, and breastfeeding and all those hormones.
Or you have
no, the exactly. difference between, like, I'm not into this,
mm-hmm.
versus, like,
they don't know what they're doing, or
yeah. And I remember all these stories, like, my friends would be like, oh, my God, you know, everyone's complaining, like, oh, he wants to have sex again. And
mm-hmm.
you're like, oh, okay, so my feelings are totally normal.
Yeah.
So coming out was just a really, I wouldn't say drawn out process, but
mm-hmm.
a lot of internal processing for me. And I think for a lot of gay people, so when I first, like, all I knew was I was in love with my soon-to-be wife.
Yes.
Like, that's all I could make sense of. Like, I could not wrap my mind around what that meant for sexuality. It was like, I love this person, mm-hmm. and maybe it's overriding anything like that. I think for a lot of gay people, they go through a transition period of, like,
well, maybe I'm bi.
Maybe I'm bi.
Yeah.
Like, we've all been bi. But in the very beginning, well, first of all, and I might hit on this more, but, like, in the very beginning, it was really bothersome to me because I had a lot of negative connotations with the label lesbian.
Yeah.
I always hated the word, and I was Why? Like, well, I don't know.
It, like, that's really interesting.
It's like the word moist. Gross.
I don't consider lesbian to be on the same level as moist.
To me, it was, and maybe it was something like, she doth protest too much.
Yeah.
But I had a huge aversion. Like,
that's really interesting.
I, you know, I had my own ideas of, like, gays and growing up in a really conservative home. Like,
mm-hmm.
I kind of had landed on, like, well, the Bible says it's wrong, but, you know, that's just up to that person. And I just don't really get involved. But there was something about the word lesbian or, like, lesbians that just hit me strangely, and
mm-hmm.
I think that was just, like something really, like, I was really burying that part of myself.
That's really interesting.
And so one of my biggest concerns was like, okay, I'm in love with this person. I want to spend the rest of my life with this person. How is the world going to perceive me? Because I'm not really a lesbian.
Yeah. Well, and that just brings up this whole label thing, which again, like, this is like a whole, and I have a lot of feelings about this too.
Okay.
Because labels are just a way for society to fit us into, like, these little boxes.
Right.
But
it can be good or bad.
It can be good or bad, exactly.
Because it helps you connect with people.
Exactly. Like, it does give you a community, and I will give you that. Like, right? It does give you a community. But it also allows society to put you into this, like, label and into this box and then justify treating people who don't have a label that they agree with, right? So, like, it can be anything, too. It can be, like, oh, like, Mac users? Oh, I am only, like, I'm only, like, a HP user, right? And all those Mac users are, like, oh, like, those Catholics? Like, oh, man, I hate those Catholics. And so, it's just a way for human beings to shut off the part of their brain that can empathize with people so that, and it's like, I'm treating this person this way.
Well, it takes a connection.
And I'm justified. Exactly.
That should be a positive connection. Like, oh, like, for me personally, I always, when someone's talking or telling me a story, I'm like, always trying to find the connection with myself. Like, oh, can I relate to that? But then a label goes above and beyond where not only you don't just have the connection, but now we're excluding other people.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that, like, and that's kind of why I would think it's interesting that you didn't like the word, like, lesbian, because, like, now it's, like, a huge part of you. Like, you say, oh, I'm putting on my lesbian flannel today, you know? I don't know. It's just really, really interesting to me because labels are, like, fairly fluid, but I don't know. I think that within the LGBT community, they're super important, too.
But even within that community, they discriminate against, like it's fairly common for LGBT, the bi part.
Yeah, like biphobia, bi erasure.
Like, oh, you can't decide, or you can't really be bi, you have to pick a team.
Yeah, like bi erasure is a huge thing. Like, people are like, oh, like, you can't be that, people,
right.
Like,
plus you can choose to be straight, basically.
Yeah.
So then why are you in our group?
And so then, like, yeah, exactly. Like, the LGBT community is like, oh, like, you're, like, not one of us, you know? I don't know. I have a couple of friends who they, and tell me what you think about this, Sarah. Like, they identify themselves as just queer in, like, the LGBT community, like, that Q. And I don't know. Like, I think that queer is, like, a really, I guess, what am I saying?
Broad?
Yeah, like a very, like, inclusive maybe term.
Right.
I mean, it used to be obviously a slur.
Right.
But I'm all up for some, you know, reclamation of words. And I don't know, like, what do you think? Like, what do you think of, like, that term and using that if you're not, like, quite sure or if you're not, like, wanting to, like, fit yourself into those boxes?
Right. I don't know. This is another interesting topic, just being fairly new to the LGBT community and, like, kind of having to learn along with the rest of society, because as a culture, we're all kind of at this point where we're all trying to educate ourselves on all of this. And I'm right there with them, like, okay, here's what I know. I'm in love with a woman. This is natural. That's all I know. I don't know the terms. I don't know what means what. Like, so I'm learning along with everyone else, and it's been fascinating. Like, I think we've talked about one of our podcasts coming up soon is, like, Gay 101. Like,
yeah.
I swear, like, when I came out and my brother's been gay, too. He's been gay for 15 years. He's been out for 15 years.
Yes.
And, you know, when he comes up with the term, like, oh, he's a bear or a polar bear.
Or an otter.
I'm like, I don't know any of these terms. Like, what's a lipstick lesbian?
I know. Maybe that's a good one to have Timmy as a guest.
Yes, I think my brother's going to be on the show. He's a little bit nervous. Like, what am I signing up for? I'm like, it'll be fine, Timmy. Just trust me. I ever led you astray.
I know what I'm doing. But yeah,
talking about that, or like we could add in like queer and what's a Gulzer lesbian and what's all this stuff.
Yeah.
I just, yeah, like all of these words are so new to me in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And so then going back to like going from a straight woman, like, okay, I'm straight and I'm in love with a woman.
But I'm not a lesbian because I don't like that.
But I don't like that word.
Yeah. So I'm just,
I don't know what that means.
And then you kind of, like, said, well, maybe...
Like, maybe I'm bi.
Yeah.
Okay, you go bi. And then, at some point, like, I came to the conclusion, like, I'm in love with a woman, like, by definition.
Yeah.
I feel like... And I know that's kind of playing into the labels, because I remember when my brother came out, we would talk a lot, and he was really hesitant to label himself as gay for a really long time.
Uh-huh.
And part of it is, like, he also went through that transition period of like, well, I'm not gay, I'm bi, but I'm choosing to be
in a
gay relationship right now.
It's safe to like say that you're bi.
Until he, and on the other hand, he was also like, I don't want to be labeled because that's not who I am. And my wife and I just had a conversation with a new friend, and mm-hmm. we were talking about these labels, and like, we were talking, my wife said something about, like, fundamentally it's who I am. And this woman who is actually trans took offense to it in a way of, like, I don't like when people say that because it's not who you are at your core. It's a part of who you are.
Gotcha.
And I think that's semantics in a way because I'm not going to define you. Like, this is
the You're biggest... so much more than a lesbian.
Right.
Yeah.
But it's also so big of a part of you. Like, we can say that about other parts of me. Like being a mother that's not my only purpose in life.
Yeah.
But it is fundamentally a part of me.
Mm-hmm.
And to be like, I'm the same person with or without that label, I guess. Like, I'm not. Like, it's grown me, it's defined me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of LGBT, like, even that part of the labeling
mm-hmm.
is, like, it kind of depends where you're coming from, like, how you're using the label of, like, no, it's not, like, this is the only
mm-hmm.
identity I have. Like, we all have a bunch of identities, but, like, me without, like, a sense of humor identity, like, mm-hmm. that's still, like, sure, it's only a part of me, but it's, like, makes me who I am.
Yeah. Well, and I think that for some people, it's really important for them to have those labels. Like, maybe it's a protective factor for them, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you know, even people within the LGBT community really can't know what's going on with transgender people,
right?
Like, you can be as much of an ally as you want, but... Or I should say and. I'm trying to...
And, yes.
I'm sorry.
Another podcast I'm writing it down. The power of and.
Yes. I've been really trying to erase the word but from my vocabulary.
You can definitely be a guest on that show.
Yes, because that was a whole thing for me,
yes,
too.
Yes, I'm learning that, too. And we already have the titles.
So. Yes. Okay. The power of and. But anyways, I think... Oh, I said but again. Anyways, I think that, you know, I can be an ally for people who are trans, and I can be supportive, and I can, you know, empathize with them, but I'm never going to truly know what's going on for them or understand, like, that struggle. Mm-hmm. And for some people, like, they need that support for people who have gone through that same thing. They right. need those people. And so labels can be really good for those people. But, or and, dang it, I said and again, I'm so sorry. You're going to have to edit me saying but all the time. and I think that labels can, you know, make people target sometimes. Like, I'm thinking of, you know, kids who are younger. I think that nowadays, I sound so old when I say that.
These kids nowadays.
I'm only 25, okay? I'm not that far out. But I think of, you know, like, nowadays I think that people are a lot more inclusive and, like, kids are, you know, you like, just in general, I think there's a lot more inclusivity within schools and the younger generation is just overall more open and accepting. But for some people, it can be, like, an actual, like, safety issue. To, like, and that's why I said that I think that, like, labeling yourself as bi could be, like, a protective factor.
Right.
Like, oh, I'm just bi. Like, I'm not full gay.
Yeah.
And even when I was, like, a teenager, like, being emo was, like, the big thing. And, like, a big part of, like, the emo culture, I put that in quotes, by the way, because it was like a social movement, but a part of like the emo culture was like bisexuality. Like everybody was bi, and it really was kind of like this, like, and it was almost like a cool thing.
Right.
I don't know. Like, it's just really, really interesting, but I think it definitely opened up a lot of doors for people who maybe wouldn't have realized, yeah. like, you know, this coming out late in life thing. I think that even just making it more acceptable in right. mainstream.
It does help you transition.
Exactly.
Instead of such abrupt, like, it can really rock your world.
Exactly.
Figuring out your bi, quote unquote.
Yeah.
Like, it helps you gradually get used to the idea. And I remember when my brother came out, you know, he was like, well, I'm still, maybe I'm bi, and maybe someday, like, I still would love a wife and kids and white picket fence. And so that's still on the table.
Yeah.
So it gave him that flexibility to, like, really ease into his identity.
Yeah, exactly.
And really take his time into, like, what does this really mean? And I think it even helped our family. Like I mentioned, I grew up in a really conservative home, and that definitely wasn't, like, enough. I mean, a very loving home, but not an affirming home by any means.
Yeah.
And that's taken our family a long time to really wrap our minds around. And that just helped everyone, really.
Yeah, ultimately. I think it did, yeah. I think it's just really interesting, too, because they're kind of, you know, again, like, talking about, like, that, like, transition into main culture. There's a ton of things in the world right now that I feel like are making the LGBT community more mainstream. Because, like, and Sarah and I both got involved in a argument on Facebook with somebody who posted on one of our sister's Facebook photos about a pride event that she and her kids went to. We only posted, like, I think, like, one thing each, but it was very frustrating to read a lot of that stuff, because he was saying stuff like, well, how am I going to explain to my children?
Now I have to explain how gay people have sex because you just march down the street.
Yeah. Well, you wouldn't explain how straight people have sex to your young children.
People getting married, you wouldn't be like, now, kids.
Exactly.
What happens? And yeah, there's still a lot of that.
But I think that there's things in the world that are helping to change that. Like, I think of, like, shows like Queer Eye, yes. right? You know, there's more queer representation in the media. Or, what am I thinking of? Oh, like, Drag Race. Like, drag queens and...
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever seen Drag Race,
no.
Sarah. I feel like you should watch it. But
I don't know, Gen Z. I don't know if I'm ready for that.
It is kind of jumping into the deep end a little bit, but like things like Queer Eye or Drag Race, or there's so many YouTubers that are, you know, openly gay, lesbian,
yeah.
like represent that. And I think that, I don't know, I do think that there's a cultural shift happening.
Oh yeah. And I was just thinking about that. Like, my wife and I feel so blessed to have come out in this time frame
yes.
of life. Like, we live in a conservative state, we live in a conservative city, and we have never encountered any
yeah.
negativity My wife's in the military, and strangely, that's one of the more accepting places, especially for lesbians.
Mm-hmm. Which wouldn't have been the case, like, a couple...
Yeah. Because,
like, how many years ago was it that...
Don't ask, don't tell was repealed 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And we've been together 5, and one of the first places she came out to was her wing, and it was just really, like, I'm glad you told me, great, whatever.
Yeah.
And we've just been so blessed to have never, I guess, experienced that, and... just paying homage to those people who have laid that path for us, because we really felt fortunate to never really encounter anything severe or judgmental. And I know there's people that talk behind our backs or whatever, but face-to-face, like, I've never told a person and had someone look weird, or we felt completely welcomed in cities, jobs, neighborhoods, I was going to say something about that, but just, like, how easy it's been. And we have friends who have been out for 20 years. And, oh, here's the interesting thing. Like, a lot of times they'll tell us they're perceiving judgment or we don't feel it.
Okay.
And I think it's because of their past experiences. So when
I could see that.
They've gone through something negative, you're more likely to assume someone's judging you negatively. Mm-hmm. And maybe we're just naive. I don't know, like, which one's the right one. But, like, since we haven't really had to go through any negativity, that we really have rarely, if ever, perceived any judgment, or, like, we feel fairly comfortable in most places.
Mm-hmm.
There's been times where we're like, well, we won't hold hands here. But never because of an actual experience.
Yeah. Well, I think that that also, it also brings up a really good point. Like, you can choose to do, you can have, like, feelings about something, but, like, what you choose to do with those feelings is one thing, right? So, I mean, maybe you guys don't even perceive it, but I honestly don't think that you guys would necessarily care. Like, I don't think that that's, like,
right.
Like, you guys would be like, I mean...
Okay.
Okay, like, if you don't like us, then that, just because of this, like, one thing in our life, like, kind of sucks, like, sucks to be you, because we, you know, we have this to offer in our friendships. And, like, I think, because I agree, I think that, you know, there's, like, negative experiences can change the way you perceive the world and, like, the lens at which you look through interactions with. And I think that that is something, like, maybe that's, like, a blessing of you guys coming out late in life. Right. You guys didn't have to go through that process.
Yeah, and I think it definitely is a blessing on its own, but just, I think, you know, we talked about in the beginning how amazing our family situation is. It didn't come without a lot of struggle.
Yes.
And a lot of complications, and just, you know, adding the LGBT stuff on top of blended families, and on top of, like,
coming out to family
and leaving spouses and entering a new marriage, like, all these things on top of each other, like, we just take these blessings for as they come, of, like, oh, at least we didn't have to also deal with that on top of everything. And, like, we live in a, like I said, a conservative state. We live in the state of Wyoming, which to some people would be, like, the ultimate conservative state. I truly believe, though, Wyoming is, like, super conservative, but they, like, it's also a very live-and-let-live state.
That's exactly what I was gonna say. It's like, well, if it's not bothering me, then, like, cool, I don't care. Like,
why would I care? You do you, I'll do me.
Exactly.
And I really do feel like that's the mentality of most people in our state. Like, they may have their own opinions.
And they may even perceive themselves to be, you know, uber conservative, but maybe they're really a little bit more accepting and liberal than they think they are. So.
And like I said, like, there's never been a time when I felt uncomfortable coming out. And one of the things I had written down for a talking point was... There is an interesting challenge, and I had never thought of this before. I read an article, and it was this, I think it was a basketball player. He's like, one of the biggest challenges is you don't come out just once.
No.
you come out every day. And that really stuck with me because that's true. Because every time I walk into a store and say, I'm picking this up for my wife, like,
you get a little bit of a, like,
I do feel that. Like, yeah. Do I say it? Sometimes mm-hmm. I'm like, I mean, I'm so proud that I have a wife. Like,
yeah.
90% of the time I'm like, I'm going to tell them I have a wife. Like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm picking this up for my wife. And I don't necessarily have to say that. But there are moments where it's always in your head, like, do I say it?
Yeah.
And I've never been met with anything but, like, no one's even badder than I. But it definitely is, like, coming out to the, you come out to the mailman and
yeah.
the UPS guy and the store manager and...
Well, and we live in, like, a really heteronormative world, right? Where everybody just assumes
right.
that you're...
They'll be like, oh, what does your husband do?
Yeah, or even, like seeing Jackie's name. Jackie's name is spelled very masculinely, and people just assume, like, oh, like, Jacques?
Put together with Sarah, like, when she was with her
yes.
ex, it was like, oh, one of these is a girl, and it's not Gus.
Yes.
So it must be Jackie.
And then it's, like,
Jacques and Sarah, and it's like, okay, well, one of them's clearly a man.
Yeah.
And for the, I have just really never felt offense at that. Like,
no.
I want...
It sucks.
I want people to assume, like,
yeah.
you shouldn't, like, I'm in mom groups, and they'll be like, oh, you and your husband, you know, and I never feel, like, offended that they're like, you need to be more inclusive. Because someone,
yeah.
someone will come to me and be like, oh my gosh, I said husband, I'm so sorry. I'm like.
Well, you didn't know. I mean.
Or they do, and it just comes out.
But yeah.
Like, I don't. To me, those are really minor because.
And at least they
95% of people are going to have a husband.
Yeah.
Like, you still. For me, I'm like, you should address the masses.
Well, and you do, like, I mean, if you tell them and they, like, take accountability for it, I think that that's okay, too.
Yeah.
Because it is the society we live in, unfortunately, and I don't think it's going to change for a really long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I don't know. It's just, like, it's just, it's really interesting to me.
And I guess I am all for, like, I'm an efficient person.
Yeah.
So, like, forcing people to be, like, you need to be your husband or wife or...
Or your spouse or your partner. Although...
And that's where I might differ on, like, PC talk.
Yeah. Speaking of, like, PC talk, and I had this... I've asked a couple of my friends in the LGBT community about this, and I just want to get, like, your... It's a quick question. It's just okay. your perspective. I read an article during Pride Month this month about straight people calling their spouses their partner. And whether or not that was okay, because for a really long time before, and you kind of made a face, right? But I've talked to some people and they're like, no, like, that's not okay, because for the longest time when gay marriage was illegal, that was like a special term to us. So I don't know, what's your opinion on it? Because I'm
as a newer person in the LGBT community, like, sometimes I feel like, well, I should be the authority figure on any of this
because yeah.
I'm so new. But at the same time, I feel like inclusivity goes both ways. Like, no one should be able to own a term. And I don't mm-hmm. think the people who use the word, like, partner are using it to demean...
Or queerbait, because that's a whole thing, too.
Oh, what's queerbait?
Queerbaiting, where you try to make people think, like, you're straight, but you try to make people think that you're gay because it's, like,
cool.
like somewhat, like, cool or, like, advantageous for you to be, like... So people will say it for celebrities that they suspect are gay.
Okay, I have an issue with that.
Yeah, so I 100% have an issue with
it,
too.
I'm not quite sure the LGBT community's cornered the market on the word partner, though.
Yeah, it's interesting.
There's lots of people throughout history, like... They don't get married, but they have a civil yeah. union, or they're a life partner, I guess, would be, like, more of an official LGBT term. But, like, partner, like, I know straight people that just choose not to get married, but
yeah.
this is my partner.
Yeah.
Like, what would they call them otherwise?
Yeah, see, it's just really interesting, and I feel like I didn't really have an opinion on it, or I feel like I couldn't really, like, have an opinion about that at the time that I, like, was reading that article, because I was like, I guess I don't really know, like, I'm, like, it's not really my place to, like, say whether it's right or wrong. So I'm, like, I've just been kind of doing a little poll of, you know, some people in my life that are LGBT just to kind of get some, like...
Interesting. My guess would be if you studied that word historically,
yeah,
it was always used for both
uh-huh.
hetero partnerships and homosexual partnerships.
Yeah.
Like, it's not, like, a queer term,
mm-hmm.
but it was a term we came up with.
Yeah.
To, like, define, like, we can't be married, but we're still together. So
yeah.
that term can be used. And that term's been borrowed from...
Yeah.
Sure.
I could see that. I was just wondering what your opinion on it was, because it's just
interesting.
Really interesting. Because, yeah, I've met a couple people who were like, no, that's, like, a queer thing. And I was like, oh, okay. So, anyways,
so... Yeah, kind of wrapping up the topic, I think the only other thing we had on our list was, like, especially with lesbians or women attracted to women, you know, it runs the gamut between, like, oh, I've always known. Like, there's definitely women who have just always known from the gate.
Yeah.
Out the gate, like, I'm a lesbian and that's just who I am. There's women who are like, yeah, that's who I am, but I can never come out. There's women that just have fallen in love with other women,
mm-hmm.
and it's just a big, you know, I think that differs sometimes. The hilarious, naive moment that we had, like, when we just, like, were so into each other, and, like, we went super naive, but, like, we just wanted to hold hands, and, like, I just want to, like, hug you kind of thing.
I just want to cuddle.
We did the obvious thing, was I'm like, I need to call my gay brother and just see what this means.
Oh my gosh.
So we conference called, hey brother.
I need an expert on the line right now. I'm phoning a friend.
We are phoning this in. Like, we need help.
So it's like, yeah, I'm having funny feelings in my body.
We're like, Timmy, just tell us what this means so we can, like, go from there. And of course, being a gay man, like, he was definitely in the camp of, like, I've always known I've been gay. Growing up conservative, like, I tried to change that mm-hmm. about me. I couldn't. Now I'm accepting this. So we're like, Timmy, this is what's going on. Like, we really want to just hold hands, and we've never felt this way before. And at the time, I was 38, and he's like, Sarah, you can't have gotten to the age of 38 and never felt that way, so it probably doesn't really mean anything. Which, the humorous point of that was a gay man's perspective.
Yeah.
He had so much trouble, like, you can't possibly have gotten to this stage of life and never experimented or,
mm-hmm.
or, like, just known you were,
yeah.
I guess. So he was kind of like, oh, don't worry, this is some weird phase.
Well, that's kind of what you were talking about at the beginning, right? Like, the, you know, for men, it's much more likely statistically for them to have their, like, sexuality cemented.
Yeah, and there's a lot of studies about, like, I don't know what the age is, mate, like, by the age of 8, like, even if it's, like, a more, like, like, even types of fetishes kind of thing, you're already cemented by that age.
Oh, that's really interesting.
And women, that there's no research on that type of thing at all. So, from his perspective, he's like, yeah, this just is some anomaly.
Mm-hmm.
But he did say, like, you're either gonna go one way or the other. Like, you're not gonna stay in this spot, like... Like, oh, I just want to hold her hand. Like, you're.
Well, I think that was true for sure.
Or
yeah.
Like, be like, oh wait, what's happening here? And so I found that really interesting. But again, the funny part was we're like, we clearly just need to call a gay person.
I know. Oh my gosh. we need some help, and we don't know.
It was just so shocking to me. And again, looking back, like, my wife and I call them rainbow flags. Of like, okay, now that I clearly see who I am, and I'm
mm-hmm.
going back to the label thing. About, I don't know, 6 months into our relationship, I blogged something, and I was like, oh, as a gay woman, and my wife brought home a bottle of wine, because she's like, you finally labeled yourself as a lesbian.
Oh, that's really cute.
And she was so excited because what I didn't realize was that it caused a lot of insecurity in her for me not to label myself as lesbian, because she was like, what if someday she changes her mind?
Mm.
Or, like, she still thinks that's a possibility. Like, I get that part. And so it was, like, a defining moment of, like, I not only do consider myself lesbian,
mm-hmm.
like, that's my orientation, but I also don't mind the label. Like, at some point I was, like, it was more fighting the label than fighting, like, who I was.
Yeah.
I just didn't want someone to label me. And now, like, we've talked about with the label thing, like, I can be a lesbian, but that doesn't...
That doesn't define you.
Me.
Yeah.
And it's a part of me, and I can embrace that part of me, and I can embrace the word now, and, like, that's part of who I am. And then looking back on my life, like...
It puts some things in perspective.
It does. Like, sure, I had spent the last 15 years having babies and being all about birth and breastfeeding and the mom thing and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, really just wanting to get married right out of college and being a stay-at-home mom. But, like, looking back on my life, like, I was a really big tomboy for most of my childhood. And at one point, there were years where I just, like, I just... truly wanted to be a boy.
Mm-hmm.
And my parents indulged that to a certain degree, as mm-hmm. much as they felt comfortable.
Yeah.
Like, they let me wear hand-me-downs from neighbor boys, but then there were certain things that they were like, well, you have to wear a dress once in a while.
Mm-hmm.
And so just looking back at those things, and my wife and I, you know, we'll joke about these rainbow flags in our lives,
mm-hmm.
but it's just an interesting perspective that, again, I didn't necessarily, like, now I can look back and be like,
well,
you know, or having grown up in a different era.
Yeah, I agree.
Because to me, like, the culture I grew up in, like, it wasn't really an option that, it wasn't like, oh, you could be this. It mm-hmm. was like, this is still your path.
Yeah.
No matter what.
Well, and so, I've worked with a couple of different clients where I work at, and they're teenagers, right? And so we get some of them who come in with, like, some gender and, like, identity confusion.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that everybody wants them to pick something. Like,
right.
Pick, like, are you going to be a boy or are you going to be a girl?
Yeah.
And, like, best practice is really to let it be, like, very organic, and, like, if one day they want to dress up like a girl, then, like, let that happen,
right.
And if one day they want to dress up like a boy, you know, like, whatever, and then, because, like, forcing somebody, like, pigeonholing them
right.
into that identity is just gonna cause, like, some, like, trauma, gonna cause, like, resentment, is ultimately not gonna be
right.
beneficial, and especially, because, like, obviously, like, I work at a mental health facility, right, for teenagers. There's other things that I think we should be working with them on rather
right.
than, like, identity. Because identity, like, or gender and identity, like,
right.
yeah, it's a big part of who they are, but there's also other things in their lives
mm-hmm.
that we need to be focusing
right.
on. Like, we need to be focusing on their trauma, on, like, their substance use,
right.
you know, on, like, their family dynamics.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's not something that I can, like, gender isn't something that I can really help them with.
Right.
And so I'm, you know, I'm just there to, like, you know.
Yeah. I think the labeling can go either way. Like, you know, in the past, like, okay, this is what a girl is and this is what a boy is.
Yeah.
But now we almost, like, you could also err on the other side of, like, oh, since this little boy's into dancing and he wants to wear a dress when he's 3, he must be...
Transgender.
And we start pigeonholing them that way instead mm-hmm. of just, like, you know, when he was 3, he loved wearing dresses, and now he's, you know, going out and doing that.
Or maybe he's, like, a gay man.
Right.
Like, and that's okay, right? And I think it was actually either you or Jackie that told me some really interesting statistics about transgender, like, youth
mm-hmm.
and gay people in general, and how, I can't remember what the percentage is. You'll have to tell me about it later, but it's, like, a lot of people who identify as transgender, like, had those feelings from a very young age.
Right.
And even, like, when you have those feelings at a young age, you may grow up and not, like, feel transgender, mm-hmm. but be gay or lesbian. Right. And I can't remember what those percentages
was. Yeah, that was a great statistic. So
I can't remember what it was.
Like, it's a fairly widely held belief that transgender people, by the age of 4 to 6, like,
yeah,
have already experienced that type of gender dysphoria.
Mm-hmm.
But of those people, about 25% of those go on to feel like adults, still feeling trans.
Yes.
But the majority, almost all of the rest of the 75% that had those feelings when they were little, mm-hmm. do end up identifying as LGBT.
Yeah.
Which is fascinating to me. That's mm-hmm. where both my wife and I come. That's our category. Like, both of us at some point in our lives wanted to be boys.
Yeah.
Now I'm 100% comfortable as a female and love that part of myself. I mean,
mm-hmm.
I can dress tomboy or chapstick lesbian or whatever.
I mean, we could have a whole podcast on just gender and like, what does it mean to be, like, fully male or fully female? Yeah. Like, everybody has different aspects of their personality that's masculine and feminine.
But we both grew out of that, but we both still now, are in the lesbian category.
But yeah, well, I think that kind of, like, I mean, I'm really glad that you, like, have found a label that you think works for you.
And at the end of the day, like, labels go both ways.
Yeah.
So, while I can call myself a lesbian, it's, like, not a big deal to be that, either. Like,
yeah.
It's not like, okay, this defining thing, I can use it, but I also don't have to carry the weight of it
mm-hmm.
at the same time. Like, yep, you know, when I like to sling it out there and I still hang out mostly in, like, heteronormative groups and mom groups and, you know, my friends, and the majority of our couples dates are still with...
I don't think it changed your, like, your life as much as maybe there was, like, a fear that it would change your life a lot more, and I don't think it did.
Right.
Because there's more to you than just being a lesbian.
Yeah.
Like, a lot more.
And one last thing before we wrap up, like, there was a huge fear when we got together that I'm like, okay, like, I'm okay being in a lesbian relationship, being out, I'm fine with that, but I don't want to have to go out and march in parades.
Like, what? This is the line. They're going to force me, and I don't want it.
Like, I envision, like, advocacy work as, like, this really...
Yeah.
Like, loud and proud thing.
Mm-hmm.
Which is hilarious because, like, the last 2 years of my blog, like, I'm finding my own niche of advocacy. Like, mm-hmm. within the church, the one-on-one, the changing, mm-hmm. like, at the grassroots level, instead of, like, oh, I'm joining this big group of the LGBT community to, like, we're here and we're queer kind of mm-hmm. things. Like, that's how I envisioned being an advocate. But now... Like, suddenly I'm finding myself, like, doing blogs and podcasts and blogs about being lesbian, and, like, that's where my advocacy is.
100%.
And that's another label, like, that's where I assumed.
Yeah. You didn't want to put yourself in there.
I didn't want to pigeonhole myself.
Like, I am not one of these people who marches. What is this?
Well, we're going to wrap up this podcast, and
yay.
I enjoyed talking with our guest, Jincy, and hope she'll be a regular on our show. And I totally think podcast number 3 needs to be Gay 101.
Yes, with Timmy.
With Timmy.
We'll phone him in.
We are going to phone a friend, like we did in the beginning.
Oh, God.
So thanks for listening. We'll talk to you soon.
Bye, you guys. Did you get it?